We've been discussing until now how Yeravam was one of the most evil kings the Jewish people ever had. He was the one who brought Avodah Zarah. He introduced Avodah Zarah to the Rabbim. He made them worship these two agolim, these two calves. And Hashem, as a punishment, is causing his son to be sick. And now his wife is going to the Navi to hopefully have the Navi daven for the son. But the Navi does he not daven for the son of Yeravam. Rather, he tells her your son is going to die because of everything your husband had done. And not only that, but the mamlacha, the malucha, the kingship will be taken away from you for all the chatoim, all the sins that Yeravam had done so far. So let's continue on from Pasuk Yud. And I will bring a disaster. Thank you. For the household of Yeravam, v'chrati le'Yeravam mashtin bakir, otzer v'ozu v'b'Yisrael. All of his descendants will be gone. No one will be left. Right, we saw this last week. The dead of Yeravam will be eaten by the dead family of Yeravam that's left in the city will be eaten by the dogs. All the bodies left in the field will be eaten by the birds. Because this was Hashem's word. This is Hashem's promise, so to speak. That Queen Lech Lavesech, Bavoyar Glei Chayir, Umesayolad. The Navi is now telling her that your son is about to die. When you get to the city, that's when your son will die. That's when he's going to actually pass away. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'Savtali Kol Yisrael V'Kavru Yosek, Kizel Vada Yovel Yeravim El Kever. You might think this is a negative thing, but in some way, this actually has a positive aspect, because your son that is now going to die is the only one out of the whole family that is going to be buried properly in an honorable way. Yan nimtza b'dovar toiv. There's one positive thing about him. Ye el Hashem elokei Yisrael beveis Yeravam. We mentioned last week that this one son was the only one that stood in the way of Yeravam and wanted the Jewish people to be Eidel L'Regel, to go up to the Beis HaMikdash for the Shelosh Regalim, and he was the only son. Therefore, he is in fact going to die, but even though it's a negative, the positive thing that he's going to get is that he's going to be buried properly. That is his reward. Hashem will take away the melucha from you, Yeravam, and will take it away and give it to somebody else. Well, it's not going to be from the household of Yehuda. Until now, all the malachim, all the kings, came from the Shevet, from the tribe of Yehuda. Rather, now Hashem is saying, no. The Navi is saying, Hashem will not give another melech from the Shevet, the tribe of Yehuda. Rather, it's going to be from somebody else. Yeah, and everyone from your household is going to die.
Doesn't the pasuk say, lo yasur Shevet mi Yehuda?
Yes, that is true. There still is a king for Beis Yehuda. Rechavam, who is the son of Shlomo, was still a king. But he was only king over Jerusalem, over Yerushalayim. So yes, he was king, but Yeravam had control over all the other parts of Eretz Yisrael.
So in other words, Yehuda just stayed in Yerushalayim.
Yes. So his control was very limited. Yeah. V'yigah Hashem es Yisrael kasher yonu dakone b'mayim. Now the Navi is continuing and saying that Hashem will punish the Jewish people kasher yonu dakone b'mayim. The analogy that this Navi is giving is just like the kana, the reed, that is floating in the water. That's how the Jewish people will be punished. What does that mean? So the Radak says that a kana, a reed, is something that moves very easily in the water, right? The slightest little wave, and the reed moves on, right? However, the Radak points out, it's true, the reed does move on, but he's still connected to the water, right? It doesn't leave the water. So too, Bnei Yisrael, even when they do leave Eretz Yisrael, even when they do go into exile, Hashem is still with them. Hashem is with them the whole time. They never disconnect from their source. Just like the reed never disconnects from the water, even when it moves away, so too Bnei Yisrael, even when they're punished, they never disconnect from Hashem. There's another pshat over here.
Yeah, a tree. That's the next pasuk.
Yeah, it sounds like, meaning Hashem is always with them, even in Chutz La'aretz.
So the Hashra, it felt.
Yeah. The Metzudas Dami, however, says it more as a negative. The Radak is using it as a positive. The Metzudas Dami says that the reason why the Navi gave this particular analogy is to stress how, just like a reed is so soft, has no backbone, and even like a little bit of wind could already move him, so too Bnei Yisrael, even though they're still remaining in their land, but their connection to the land is so weak that the slightest little thing, the slightest change, will knock them out of the land and send them into exile, and just like the reed. With a little bit of wind, he moves on.
Well, isn't that the same when Hashem told Avraham what's going to happen? He says, I'm going to go with them.
Yeah. That's talking about Mitzrayim, but yes. Yeah, same thing over here. Right.
So we're worried about Yisrael because the king was bad?
Okay, so very, very good question. Very good question. Why are you punishing Bnei Yisrael if it was the king? Right? Great question. We're going to get to that in a second. V'notash Yisrael me'al ha'adama ha'toyva, Hashem will uproot Bnei Yisrael from this great land. Shernasan la v'seim v'zeirim me'ever l'nar. Hashem will disperse them on the other side of the river, referring to the Nahar Yardin, the Jordan River. Yan asher osu sashreim achisim es Hashem. Why? Because we see over here the reason why they were punished. Why are Bnei Yisrael punished? So the Rambam points out exactly what you're asking, Abba. He says that for the chait of the Agolim, for the avera of them worshipping the golden calves that Yeravam made, that they're not punished for. Why? Because Yeravam made them. Either he made them, he forced them, or he seduced them, whatever it was, they're not held responsible. However,
Asherah tree, yeah.
Yeah, however, because they continue doing this after Yeravam stopped forcing them to do so, that's why they're punished. It's one thing if you're doing it because you're coerced, right? Okay, so you're not held responsible. But if you continue doing it afterwards, that shows retroactively that the whole time you were doing it willingly, and therefore you're going to be punished even for the time that you were doing it against your will. That's why Bnei Yisrael are punished. Because they continued building Asherah, worshipping Avodah Zarah, after Yeravam. Pasuk design, Ve'idon es Yisrael, Biglal chatos Yeravam asher chata, v'asher hechti es Yisrael. Hashem will not punish the Jewish people because of the sins of Yeravam. Even though he was machti them, he caused them to sin, but because they continue doing it later, that shows retroactively that they were doing it willingly the whole time. That's why they're being punished. That's the end of the Nevuah of the Navi. And now we're going to see what happens. The wife of Yerobam hears this. She gets up. She goes back to Tirtzasa, which is apparently where the capital of Yerobam was. Because again, Rehoboam was the king in Yerushalayim. So we couldn't use Yerushalayim as the capital, which is the natural place to go, as even Donald Trump knows. Rather, he had to build a different capital. So he built a capital in a place called Tirza. Over here it says, she went to Tirzasa, to Tirza, a place called Tirza. He bought Kes Besafa Bais Vanarmes. The second she walks...
Can't you imagine how she feels? She came to him for help. And he told her... How did she even make it back without this?
Yeah, you're right. It's a devastating nevuah to accept.
It's all over for you.
Mm-hmm. It's a devastating nevuah to accept. It's terrible. But again, it was part of the sins that she was a part of.
how long did it take for this nevuah to happen?
How long until it came
to
fruition?
How long after he gave the nevuah?
I don't know. It's a good question. I haven't seen anything.
Said she got up and went back. That's all.
Yeah. The nevuah of her son dying happened right away.
But
the rest of it for the whole household of Yerobam to be wiped out, that's
the
time.
She asked him about the son, and he told her.
Right.
Aye.
Yeah. That's horrible. Anyway, so the apostle says, he bob safa bais vanar meis. The second she walks through the threshold of the house, her son died. He passed away. Now, if you notice, what did the Navi tell her? He says, the second you come into the city, that's when your son will die. What does it say over here?
Well,
it says there when she walked into the house.
No.
Right? Not the city.
No.
What's the pshat? So the Mefarshim have a few different explanations. One explanation is that the house of Yerobam was in fact in the edge of the city. So walking into the house, it's the same thing. Walking into the city the house was on the edge, on the border.
Yeah.
So when she walked into the house, she went through the border as well. So it was really, really the same thing. That's one shot. The Malbim explains that really he died when she walked into the city, when she walked through the gates. However, what this pasuk is referring to is that when she walked into the house, that's when she found out that he died. But really he died before when she walked into the city. And now, the Ralbach points out a very important point. I think you mentioned this last week, that why didn't she just wait, right? She could have just not gone home, right? Go on holiday, right? Lengthen your son's life by a few weeks. But she knew that the Nevuah was going to come to become true, and she did not stop at all. She went straight home, even though she knew that the second she gets home, her son will, in fact, die.
Was he a young person?
Yeah.
It says he was a nar.
It says he was a nar. It doesn't say how old he was, but he was definitely very young. Yeah.
Is there any reason why she didn't wait?
Well, anyway, he got sick. Maybe he was sick before he died. That's why he sent his wife to find out.
Right.
It'll be okay. He got sick before.
Right, no, he definitely was sick. Yeah. Is there any reason why she went straight home? The Ralbach doesn't explain, but it sounds like she knew that there's no escaping this. No escaping this, and she...
It's kind of better to end it quickly. Like for example, I have Shalom, David and Melech. Zion. So then he died fairly quickly, and David HaMelech was able to go on with his life after that.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's true. Also, Yonah Navi, he tried to avoid, run away from Hashem. I'm going to run here, I'm going to run there.
Doesn't work. Didn't help anyway.
You can run, but you can't hide, right? So she decided apparently that would be best.
What is in the next pasuk? He's still king, and he has whatever he did. He says, how long did it last? Did he last to be king? He said, you're not going to be king anymore.
Right. I don't know exactly how long it lasted.
Saying, then the rest of the...
It says a little later how long it was Melech and...
I don't know how long it lasted.
It must have been a few years.
Yeah, no, it definitely didn't happen right away. But maybe we'll see later on. I'm not sure. We'll see later on how long it lasted. Just one more pshat. It's brought down by the Radak, that what happened was, is that when she walked into the city, that's when he became a goyses, meaning he was like his condition got deteriorated, and he was literally on the verge of death. But he didn't actually die until she walked into the house.
Well, yeah, he says here, he lapsed into a coma when she got to the city.
Yeah, but that's a shot of the Radak.
But when she walked into the house, he took his last breath.
Right. Yeah. And that's what the Radak is saying. Yeah, so let's continue. Pasuk Yud Gimel. What? I'm sorry. Pasuk Yud Ches. Yisrael. He died, and all the Jewish people gave him a great hesped, a great eulogy. Kitvar Hashem asher diber b'yad avdoi achiyo hanavi. Just like Hashem prophesied by the Navi Achiyo. V'yesher diber Yeravam asher nilcham v'asher molach. The rest of everything else that Yeravam did, it doesn't necessarily mean everything he did afterwards, right? But it's really referring to the whole history, the whole kingdom, the whole kingship of Yeravam. Everything he did throughout his kingship, not everything is spoken out over here in Malachim, but rather spoken out later in Divrei Hayamim. Divrei Hayamim is the sefer where it's basically a history book. That brings down, a lot of times, the Malbim, or other Mepharshim, will point out different contradictions between what the Navi says over here in Malachim, and what it says in Divrei Hayamim. And the Mepharshim spend a lot of time trying to reconcile the two different verses, the two different Pesukim, to understand what really went on. Because a lot of times there's a bit of a contradiction between the two.
Which one
have
you wrote the
Vion? I don't know. Good question.
Now, how long?
Wasn't written by, in the end, by Ezra Mekanen, though?
I think so, yeah. It was the last Nevi'im. Definitely the last. The later Nevi'im.
How long was he actually king?
Next Pasuk.
Yeah,
don't ask
see.
The question.
Let's see what continues.
Next Pasuk.
Vayomi Mashar Malach Yeravam. So let's see, how long?
It says he remained 22 years.
What, so
this is not the 22 years. I'm talking about now, when his son died and everything else. It wasn't 22 years. He told you his whole kingdom is 22 years.
It's in Divrei Hayomim.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how long after this.
King, a year? When he set up the thing, did he set him up right away? He must have. Because he didn't want the Jews to go to Yerushalayim.
Yeah, no, he definitely set them up right away.
He had to do something wrong to get punished.
Right, but again, he wasn't punished right away either.
Right.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. How long did he get away with this? With what he
I don't know. It's a good question.
Then the Maisa comes in here, his son dies, he tells him what's going to happen to you later. Then later he says his whole thing was 22. Fine. But,
We learned last
how come
week.
He let him last
he said you could do
years.
You do tshuva. You can
doing that
things
doing
will change.
That stuff.
You don't do tshuva.
Listen, you know, if Hashem didn't give us chances, you know, we would be long gone, right?
Hashem waits
for us to do tshuva.
He already told him what's going to happen.
Right.
Like I'm saying, all the time, we haven't got a chance. And the movement comes through, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly how long it took.
All right.
Hashem is Erech HaPayim.
Yeah, Hashem waits. Hashem doesn't punish us right away. Hashem waits. Wait for us to do tshuva.
You can do tshuva, hey. Maybe you can gain a few years.
He didn't get you.
2 days, whatever.
You didn't give him a chance to do tshuva. He's telling him this is it, what you did.
Mm-hmm. He told him before, last week, to change his ways.
If you do what I'm supposed to do, it'll be. He's not saying that to him.
Right.
He's saying, you did it already, and you're a hopeless case. Goodbye.
Yeah, it's done. Over.
He's like a Macy's and Medea because he's Mahdi Israel.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe.
Macy's and Medea has not given any chance.
That is true. Yeah, we learned that from Nachash. Yeah.
Lily.
Yeah, the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about how typically when a person comes to court, when he's judged in a Beis Din, in a Jewish court, we always open up with an argument in his defense. Right, and if he does not have any defense, right? What if he doesn't know how to? He doesn't have a lawyer, or he himself does not know how to defend himself. Beis Din, on their own accord, will defend him. You have to have some kind of argument of defense for anyone, any criminal, any defendant. Right. However, the only exception to this rule is a Macy's. Right. A Macy's, if someone causes other people to sin or another person to sin, right? The Beis Din on their own, if he himself on his own accord will defend himself, fine. But if he does not, or he does not know how to, the Beis Din will not go ahead and defend him. The Beis Din will not present any evidence in his defense at all. Where do we learn that? We learn that from the Nachash. The Nachash, the serpent, the original chet of Adam HaRishon. Hashem comes over to the Nachash and he says, why did you do this? And the Nachash doesn't seem to have an answer. However, the Gemara says that there was a simple answer the Nachash could have said. The Nachash could have said in his defense, what do you want from me? You told Adam not to eat from the tree of wisdom, right? And I told him yes to. Right? I told Chava yes to. Right? Divir HaRav, v'divir HaTalmid, divir Mishaymid. Right? If Hashem tells you one thing, the serpent tells you another, who do you listen to? Obviously, listen to Hashem. Right? So what do you want from me, Hashem? No, tell Adam, it's his fault. So that was the argument that the Nachash could have presented. But he didn't. And Hashem did not present it for him. Hashem did not argue in his defense. That's how we learn that we never defend anyone who is a Macy's, who causes other people to sin.
I wrote something about that. Learned. I said he had a trial with Adam, Chava, and him.
Yeah.
He said to Adam, you had it. Well, your wife told you she already had it. She went down. You're up. You don't mix anymore. She can't come up. The only thing is you have to go down because she told him he's not going to make another woman for you.
Mm-hmm.
So he figured, okay. Yeah, after that, that's why he told Hashem, I ate it and then I'm going to continue eating it because that's the way it is now. There's nothing else to do. However, he said to her, she told him, he beguiled me, he talked to me and everything else, and he told me I'll be like God and I'll be this and that, so I was talked into it. Okay. When he went to the serpent, and he says, well, what's your reason? He says, I know what's your reason. You wanted her for yourself. All you wanted was her. You weren't interested about anything else. So, with that, there's no... I can't forgive you for that. That's it.
Right. Yeah.
We learned last week in Capital Yud Gimel.
Yeah.
Lamed Gimel here. Achad Adavar Azel, Lo Shuv, Yeravam, midachoy hara'a.
Yes. Even though we saw, even though Yeravim saw what happened to the Navi, yeah, right, the Navi came to warn him.
Yeah.
Idoy HaNavi. Navi came to warn him,
yeah,
and he was punished by not listening to Hashem. He ate and drank, and therefore he was killed. After all that,
he still didn't, this is what happened.
He didn't learn his lesson, yeah. So Hashem sent him a warning. Not only did Hashem send him a warning, but he himself saw what happened to the person, to the Navi, right? Navi. We're talking about a Navi, the Navi Hashem, who did not listen to his orders of not eating and drinking, and he ate and drank, and on the spot, he was punished. Yeravim saw this, nothing.
Maybe can you say, at the beginning, he made the, what he made there, but he didn't tell them that this was the thing. He just didn't want them to go. He didn't tell them this is the Abed Azor, you have to buy it. You can do what you're doing here, but it's not like if you would be in there. He wants them to stay there. But after a little while, like keep on doing that, I think his whole mind changed, that he went into that it is Veda Zora.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the beginning, like when we learned, he didn't want them to go there. He doesn't want them.
Yeah.
So maybe at that point, you know,
yeah, the right
he could have been saved already. But
right,
he saw this worked, and later on, it got into his head that it is they should do this here.
Right.
What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a part
That's
of it.
That's what it seems like.
It's what happens to all kings. Or all
presidents. They get drunk with power. Yeah. Everyone gravitates towards power. Once they realize they have a little bit,
Napoleon.
They can never let go.
Napoleon, all of it. Then he went to Russia. He found out he wasn't Napoleon anymore.
Yes, who once before? Who wrote the Malachim out of the Basin?
I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not sure who wrote it.
That's what he told me when I asked.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't find that yet.
Okay.
I'll try to find
out. Okay. Next passage.
So let's see. Continue. Vayamim shemalach Yeravim esrim v'shtayim shana. Yeravim was a king for 22 years. Vayishkav im avaysa v'imlech Nadav b'noi tachtav. After he died, his son Nadav became king. So now we're leaving Yeravim. We're going back to Rechavim. Rechavim was the son of Shlomai, and he wasn't such a good king either. What happened with Rechavim? Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Rechavim ben Shlomai Malach b'Yehuda, he was a king only in Yehuda, only in Yerushalayim. Ben Arbaim v'Achashan Rechavim b'Malach, he was 41 when he became king. U'Shvayas v'Shan Malach b'Yerushalayim, Ayer Shabach HaShem L'Sum Shmai Sham, B'Kol Shifte Yisrael, V'Shem Imoi Nama Ha'amonis. He was king in Yerushalayim for 17 years, the place where Hashem chose to dwell. And it says a very random line at the end of this pasuk. The name of his mother was Naamah HaMoinis. What do I care who his mother was?
Right.
What difference does it make?
Right?
His father is much more famous.
Yeah.
I want to say his father was Shlomo okay. But his mother, Naamah HaMoinis. The Mefarshim explains that the reason why we're mentioning Naamah HaMoinis here is because she was the main one she was the one who started to do Avodah Zarah in the days of Shlomai. Right? She was one of his wives, one of his 1,000 wives. And she was the main one to seduce and to get Rechavim to start worshipping Avodah Zarah. Because she was the main one, she was his mother, after all, that's why. So she first of all started during the days of Shlomai. And that's what caused Shlomo he didn't worship a Avodah Zarah himself, but he let his wives get away with it, and that's why he's punished.
Them.
And now she continued and convinced Rechavim to do the same. To worship a Avodah Zarah. V'yash Yehuda harab b'nei Hashem, v'yikanu oisim b'kol asher osu v'yisam, v'chatoisam asher chato. Now Yehuda, not only is Yeravim worshipping a Avodah Zarah, but also Rechavim. Even Rechavim, who was king in Yerushalayim, is also worshipping Avodah Zarah, influenced by his mother.
He joined. He joined his wife.
This is his mother.
I mean his mother.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He joined his mother, yeah. It says there, Veikanu Oisai. Right? So the Ralbag explains, typically Veikanu means they were jealous. Over here, the Ralbag explains, it doesn't mean jealous, rather it means that they made him mad, upset, angry. Right? He made Hashem angry much more than everything that his fathers had done against Hashem. The Jewish people that were living in Yerushalayim also built matzevos. They built all these different altars for avodah zarah, for idol worship. I'll call giva gvoya batachas kol eitz ra'anan, on every high hill and under every tree. Every tree over here is referring to the altars themselves. Eitz ra'anan is referring to the altar and not to an actual tree. So the Ralbag also explains that Tachas kol Eitz ra'anan is referring to the Eitz of Asherah. Asherah was known to be an Eitz of Avodah Zarah. So too, the Bnei Israel lived near Yerushalayim, Shevet Yehuda, were also using this Asherah tree as Avodah Zarah. Not only did they do Avodah Zarah, but it got even worse. The Gam Kol Yishoy of Haaretz. Not only were they involved in idol worship, but they were also involved in adultery. Also, Kachol HaToyev HaSagoyim HaShohayish Hashem Mipnei Bnei Yisrael. They were involved in adultery, and they did everything the non-Jews, the Gentiles, did during their time in the land. So there are a few pshatim over here. The Malbim explains that who was involved in adultery? It wasn't really the Jewish people. Rather, it was the goyim, the Knainim, who were living there at the time. But because the Jewish people did not stop them, they did not rebuke them, therefore, they're held responsible. They're punished for it as well. Because when you see something being done wrong, you should try and stop it. Do everything in your power to stop it. That's one pshat. But the Mitzvah David explains, sorry, Rashi explains, he explains it as simply as understood, that really the Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, were the ones involved in adultery, and they learned from the Goyim. They learned from the Goyim, but they themselves did it as well. Okay, we'll stop here because it's time for Maariv, and we'll continue. Hopefully, we'll finish the Perek next week.